Basically, it kind of came about from playing all the music in my offices that I would work at. A very, very different life. I was involved in government and education. Yeah, I was always the one that would help plan parties and get the mood going, and I was just naturally gravitated towards wanting to be the iPod hog, I guess.
Hello, I'm Renee Vaughan Sutherland, and welcome to Greater Than 11%, a weekly podcast that explores roles and opportunities within the creative industries, with the aim of contributing to increasing diversity across the board, in addition to promoting some awesome women. For episode 54, we are joined by Alice Whittington, also known as DJ Norsica. Alice was raised on music. Her father, a pianoist and a composer, had her playing the piano as a toddler. This lifelong love of music drove her to quit her office job in 2012 and take up DJing full-time. In 2016, she wanted to push beyond solely DJing and volunteered to run the Manana Festival, the first international festival of its kind to take place in the historic cultural capital of Santiago, Cuba. It brought the international electronic community and local folk and contemporary musicians together. They collaboratively produced albums in addition to performing at the festival. In 2017, she joined independent record label Soundway Records as their label manager. In this role, she is responsible for PR, production, distribution, media, management, and artist liaison. Soundway focuses on both reissue of African, Caribbean, Latin, and Asian music from the 1950s to the 1980s, in addition to original contemporary releases. Their studios, where we're currently recording the podcast, also includes restoration services and houses a vinyl press. In addition to her regular DJ work across the globe, from cities such as Sydney, Tokyo, Ibiza, right through to her hometown London, she also has her own show on Soho Radio called Norsica, and a monthly interview series on Foundation FM, which focuses on interviewing women in music. Alice, it's absolutely amazing to be kicking off our first interview for Series 2 with you. Welcome to Greater Than 11%.
Thank you so much, Renee.
So, you have many roles, and I think it's safe to assume that most people will understand what a DJ does, but can you explain how it works and how it works with your other roles? You know, DJing at gigs, but also hosting a radio show and also a label manager for Soundway Records.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's actually very common in the music industry for people to have multiple sources of income and I guess also interests as well. The way that DJing works, I would say, is that your main role is to create an atmosphere at an event or a club to bring people together to, I guess, celebrate certain things or to create a sense of community or culture, at least in my line of DJing, that, you know, opens people's minds and gets them dancing and puts a smile on their face. I mean, I can't say that for maybe perhaps a heavy metal DJ, which I'm not sure there are, but it's a very different kind of world when it comes to particularly what I would call international music. I do avoid the term world music. Music from all around the world of different genres, cultures and so on. It attracts a certain type of audience who are generally already quite open-minded as well. So I guess that leads on to radio also. For those people that can't see me do my shows live, they can listen online on Soho Radio or Foundation FM, where I actually talk more than play music. So that helps me spread my kind of message, I guess, in terms of exploring new ways of creating music or digging out old treasures that might not have been found previously. And then likewise with label management, the label is very much reflective of a lot of the music I listen to. I have a very wide range of taste, but the label itself is also quite wide ranging, as you already described, in terms of genres, countries, ages. Yeah, so it's actually quite a nice symbiotic relationship of helping release music, nurture new artists, then playing that music live to people, seeing the reaction, or playing that music on radio and getting feedback from around the world as well.
So you're talking about how all these kind of roles have crossover. Do you see them fitting together and complementing each other?
Definitely. I get the opportunity to use music that we haven't released yet on the label in my DJing, or to showcase artists that are up and coming that might not necessarily, you know, be in the public arena yet. And vice versa, I feel like DJing complements the record label as well. It can increase visibility for the label itself if I'm playing out there and I'm introduced as the label manager for Soundway Records, and they get a taste of the kind of music that I am into, which isn't always the same as the record labels, but it's definitely reflective of an open-minded mentality. Yeah.
Cool. So I'm wondering if we can like rewind and go back to kind of where your career journey started, because I kind of mentioned that you quit your office job. So kind of what was the trajectory to arriving to now?
Well, as you kind of mentioned before, I'd always been involved in music when I was younger, through school and high school as well, and even partly through university, just, you know, in various groups. And I never really thought that I could have a career in music, because even though my father is in music, he's very much academically involved, which is quite different to being on the business side or the artist side of things. Yeah, basically it kind of came about from playing all the music in my offices that I would work at. A very, you know, very different life. I was involved in government and education work before, and yeah, I was always the one that would help plan parties and get the mood going, and I was just naturally gravitated towards wanting to be the iPod hog, I guess. So then, I thought, it's obviously successful as well, so maybe I should try and make a living out of it. So I kind of took a leap of faith and quit my job and did a very short 4-week course in basic DJing. Mm-hmm. Picked it up fairly quickly, felt comfortable with it, and the rest is history, really.
And how was that, those early days, like breaking into DJing? And I have no idea how you'd go about that. And kind of, did you have any kind of barriers that you hit?
Oh, loads. I mean, this was going back 8 years now, and I started DJing, or had just learned how to. The first barrier was access to equipment. So being able to even practice DJing in the first place, I had to buy my own equipment and save up. Secondly, the number of women DJing was very low at the time. There's been a massive explosion of women and women of colour in the last 2-3 years, which is fantastic. We're seeing a lot more of that in the industry now, like DJs. But at that time, it was very much, you weren't taken very seriously, and your worth was lower than your male counterparts as well. The promoters would often try and get away without paying you, or making you pay to play as well. So that was very difficult. So financially, it was quite a struggle, but there's nothing like poverty to motivate you.
Yeah. And how did you navigate that? I guess because especially like you'd changed career and it was kind of new for you. Just curious, like it's so hard when you take that leap, and I'm like a massive advocate for taking leaps. Mm. But yeah, you kind of throw yourself in the deep end and then you have to kind of figure it all out.
Yeah, I guess I just hustled very hard trying to identify and get in contact with people who I could see were doing something that I wanted to do. So other DJs, or perhaps promoters, or asking my friends if they knew anybody who was looking for DJs, being very much open to trying all kinds of events and venues, because I really didn't know what kind of work is out there for DJs. And actually there's some very bizarre events that you would never think that there would be DJ work for. You know, it's not just a nightclub. There's artistic, you know, cultural events in a museum, or perhaps for a corporate client. Or I've done playlists for beauty salons. I've done one for a funeral. I mean, wow. Like, it's really, you can find, music is everywhere, and you can find ways of applying your skills and expertise in producing music for all kinds of events, live or pre-mixed as well. Mm-hmm.
Can you discuss Foundation FM in more detail and what your monthly show focuses on? because I only discovered Foundation FM through researching you, and I was like, this is awesome, and I wish I'd known about it earlier, so I've been like jumping onto that. So yeah, I think it'd be great to discuss.
Yeah, it's just turned 1 year old. It's founded by three young women who are in the music industry and creative industries, with radio plugging and marketing and that kind of thing. They're based in Peckham, in the Peckham Levels Centre, and they broadcast daily. And it's a really awesome community. They've got a lovely little studio, and they have mainly women and women identifying people, as well as trans and LGBTQI representatives hosting the shows. But obviously it's very open to having men as guests as well. It's just more like they're just trying to balance radio host quota, I suppose. As you probably know, most of them are male out there. And so, yeah, they try and provide a platform for voices that might not normally be heard. And so the show that I do on there, I pitched as women in music, specifically record labels, and how they got to their jobs and what kind of jobs those are. Because actually, again, women in record labels isn't that common yet, at least not in smaller labels. And if you don't know what those jobs are, you'll never really be able to aspire to them or know that there is something that you could even apply or create yourself.
This is like a role reversal, because it's exactly what this podcast does.
I love it.
So, DJ, radio host, label manager has a perceived glamour and party vibe to it. Is that the reality?
I think it's about 5% glamour, 95% administration and travel. You know, the 1 hour or 4 or 5 hours, depending on what you've been booked for, that you DJ, you've probably spent a good 2 hours traveling, or if not more, if you've got to leave the country or the city, and then a day or possibly several days preparing your set as well, and negotiating fees, expenses, having to promote the event. The promoters usually ask you to. So there's a lot that goes on before you even get to the decks, and that moment is incredible if you've got the right crowd. Obviously, there's nothing like live performance and knowing that what you're creating is actively influencing someone's happiness. Yeah, it's worth it for the 5% of glamour and fun, or at least fun, not necessarily glamour. There's definitely been some nightclubs and venues that I've played at that are not glamorous at all. And same with the record label side of things. The end product that the consumer hears or sees is usually the result of months of work and also handling artistic personalities, which can be at times quite demanding emotionally or at least time-wise, ensuring that their hands are held, but then their expectations are measured as well.
Yeah, I can imagine that takes a lot of our energy. I know that just in like creative direction and when you're working with clients.
Yes.
I call it sometimes the Scorsese moment, where they suddenly like channel Martin Scorsese and think that we're making some big Hollywood thing.
Exactly. Yeah, everyone's going to be a star. That's
right. Yeah. I watched some YouTube clips of you DJing. And
oh,
you just look so joyous and happy. It was so lovely to watch. I was like, so when you talk about like setting a mood or a tone and then, you know, it being fun, I can see that. So that 5% definitely comes out when you're up on those decks.
Yeah, it's great. And when you've got people that are open-minded and obviously inclined towards the kind of music that you like as well, it's a beautiful connection with people, even if you don't know who they are.
Mm-hmm. And what do you typically play? Do you have like a type that you play, or are you quite varied?
I play a lot more than what we release on Soundway itself. Obviously, I do play a lot of Afro-Latin Caribbean music, but then I venture into electronic a lot more than what our brand it represents. So I enjoy a little bit of breakbeat, techno, house, a lot of disco, but also just weird stuff. Which I can't always play on a dance floor, but I can play on, say, radio.
Yeah.
And that's one of the main reasons I went into radio, is to be able to not only showcase the stuff that, you know, will bring a smile to someone's face, but maybe just move them emotionally or make them think or sound just so different that it brings a little bit of insight into a different culture or sound that they might not normally get.
So with all these different roles, is there a typical day for you?
I'm very lucky in that I get to choose my own hours, being freelance. That does mean, obviously, my hours can be very unusually long or at strange times of the day or night. Typical day is working on the record label for 7 to 8 hours. I may or may not have to pop out for a radio show or a pre-record. Then I DJ 1 to 2 times a week as well. So then if I'm not, you know, working during the day, well, actually, to be honest, I will be preparing the evenings before for my next DJ gig as well. And then I'll be playing a DJ gig. Yeah. So it's quite a lot of work.
Yeah, juggling. Mm. Yeah. And what skills would you say you need to be a DJ?
The top three skills would be, well, firstly, good taste in music. Being able to read body language, and not so much a skill, so much as a trait, is some humility and professionalism. If you act professionally when DJing, you will be asked back. Whereas if you don't act professionally, you'll get a reputation pretty quickly. Yeah.
Mm. What does not acting professionally as a DJ entail?
Well, you know, some people turn up late for their gigs. Yeah. Some people throw a tantrum when they don't get a ridiculous rider that they might have asked for, you know, in terms of, I wanted a specific champagne. Some people don't even bring their own headphones, or they try and jostle other DJs off early. They're rude to the promoters, to audience members. Yeah, or they're, you know, really drunk or high. Mm. There's a lot of things you can do that are unprofessional. Even though you're not in an office or corporate environment, a certain degree of awareness of your surroundings and how you're treating other people is really important.
So don't be a dick, basically.
Yeah, basically. And it's, unfortunately, it's one of those environments, especially in nightclubs, where people can get away with that kind of behaviour. Mm. But because there are so many DJs now, the technology has become a lot more democratic in terms of being able to just play digital music as opposed to buying vinyl, which is expensive, then having vinyl turntables, which is also expensive, and practicing that. Mm. People can now DJ off laptops, and it's become a lot more competitive in the DJ world. So the more unprofessional you are, the more likely your career is not going to do as well, I think.
What would you say makes a good DJ?
I think the element of surprise is really important. I think being able to bring songs together in a journey that takes people on, rather than just a random jukebox type selection, I think is really important. That can actually send people into a mesmerized state, you know, or and actually transport them, you know, not to say out of body, but to an emotional place that can make a big difference to their night. So I think those are really important skills. No one can teach you. You just have to have done it so many times that you can see how people react when you go in certain directions or drop certain types of songs, or you surprise them, or you take it down to a slow beat and then bring it back up again. You don't have to just be on the increase in terms of loudness and energy and speed throughout your whole set. Mm. It's actually pleasant for people to go through an undulating kind of experience of, yeah, music.
I've not actually really considered how much emotional and intelligence and intuition must come into play, actually. Mm. Which makes sense when I think about dancing on a dance floor, and, you know, when a DJ is good, it's great. And then when, suddenly, like, they mix it up and some shit song comes on, everyone, like, clears the dance floor.
Yeah, yeah, and you learn pretty quickly what, you know, what's going to clear dance floors. But obviously it really depends then on the night that you're playing at, or the event that you're playing at too, because one song that's really commercial could be something that's a massive hit, like at a wedding, for instance. Mm. It gets everybody on the dance floor. But if you played it in an underground nightclub, people will be running for the trees, you know.
Yeah. Cool. And so what skills do you need to be a label manager?
I think this is very difficult to describe, and it's quite rare to ever see a job description for this online. I've never quite worked out what those skills are. But for me personally, in the label manager role that I have, the skill of administration, which sounds incredibly boring to a lot of people that are interested in music, but is so vital to the success of a release. I can't really express how important it is to be organized and to have an attention to detail, because if you upload an artist's song and you get the date of release wrong, or you get the artist's names wrong, or the song wrong, it completely scuppers a release. Or likewise, if you do that for manufacturing a physical release and you've gone and pressed several thousand copies and you've actually made a mistake on the actual pressing itself, the vinyl itself, as well as the cover, then you could waste tens, if not hundreds of thousands of pounds. Mm. Yeah, and it's really important. And those mistakes happen all the time.
God, so stressful.
It is.
So I guess it's about being precise and just really methodical about everything that you're doing.
Which seems very counterintuitive in the music industry. It's, you know, everyone gives off this air of creativity, no bounds, no restrictions. We want to be free with our art. And that's very much the case to a certain degree when creating the art. But in order to then bring that to an audience and to give it as much exposure and the best chance it can to be heard by people, the precision is very much that pointy end of the release schedule. Yeah.
What advice would you give someone who is considering a career in DJing?
I think with DJing, it's not difficult technically to be a decent DJ. It is difficult to be a very high-end DJ in terms of using effects, loops, multiple tracks all at once, live instruments over the top as well. But to be a decent DJ, it's not technically difficult. However, the competition is quite high, so you can't really expect to get paid a lot, or if anything, in the first 6 to 12 months, because people are expecting you to have some kind of track record of performances, but also you need that time in real venues to experience what it's like to clear a dance floor or to make a dance floor do really well.
Yeah.
You know, and that only comes with experience. So you need that experience, and getting that opportunity to play at a friend's bar or a party, even if you're not paid, is invaluable experience. Mm. So yes, you need to know your worth eventually, how much you should get paid. But to start off, you need to take as many opportunities as possible to get experience.
Get out there. Mm. And you said you've never seen a job description, but what advice would you
advice?
Give?
Advice? Skills. For label management, I would say you definitely need to have empathy, especially when dealing with artists. So if you're all about the numbers, that will be very difficult for you to communicate with artists. But then if you don't know really anything about the numbers behind creating a release, then that's also quite difficult. So you need a good balance of empathy, but also professional skill sets like basic accounting, planning processes, and that kind of thing. Label management is really rewarding in that you get to see something from its conception almost to then being released to the world, like a mother bird letting her chicks fly. And that can be really rewarding, but also nerve-wracking, because if it's not received well, you know, it can be quite devastating to not only the artist, but to you as the label manager who has essentially been responsible for making it come to life. So be prepared to have a bit of an emotional roller coaster, but at the same time, it's one that is generally really fun. And when you get off at the end, you're kind of going, oh my God, that was quite a ride. But, you know, it's almost always a really valuable experience. Yeah.
And you're literally walking through that creative process with the artists. That must be like amazing to see their kind of creative and emotional development through a project.
Definitely. And I've had some really intense moments with some artists who were very scared and they'd been sitting on it for such a long time and never released it, that they kind of had in their minds that it wasn't going to do well, or perhaps they really felt strongly about it being a powerful piece of music. And it's a very personal rejection if you feel that people that you look up to don't welcome it as you'd hoped.
Yeah, that whole creative process is fraught, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And you have to be, as a label manager, grounded when you're talking to them, and keep them positive, but also keep them their expectations measured. And then if it does even better than expected, then fantastic.
Yeah. So I'm wondering if you could tell me what's been one of your biggest challenges you've faced in your career.
I think my biggest challenge, which is an ongoing challenge, is not knowing my worth and then standing up for myself. And that applies to DJing and label management, not currently, but historically, that I have struggled to ask to be recognised and paid accordingly as well, but also just treated with respect for how hard I've worked. And I've definitely had that experience in DJing and festival management and label management, where for whatever reason the people I have worked with or worked for have, I guess, how do I say this diplomatically, the people that I have worked with or worked for have in their own minds what they think I'm worth, and I've unfortunately accepted their definition of me. And a lot of the time it's based in bias or threat or misunderstanding. And as a result, yeah, it's held me back in some ways.
That's tough. And I guess it's kind of every time it happens is trying to learn from it and take it forward, isn't it? And then not get angry at yourself as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And when you look back, you're like, oh, yeah, I was worth X amount, you know, not just, I'm not talking just money-wise, but the way people treat you or the way they acknowledge you and give you credit for things. I've had lots of people take credit for stuff that I've done and really struggled to voice my frustration about that. Yeah, it's a long road.
Okay, so what do you love about your current roles? DJ, radio host and label manager.
Well, obviously DJing, I love bringing a dance floor to life. Absolutely love it. The adrenaline rush of watching people smile and dance and go crazy is just one of the best feelings. It's quite addictive. Radio show wise, I really enjoy just imagining what people are doing or who's listening out there. I don't know who they are listening to at the time, live or post recording. Yeah, just kind of like having an intimate conversation with them while also playing them some interesting music that I love. So that's for me quite rewarding. And then label management, I'm definitely a completionist, so I like to see things come to fruition. So it's, for me, it's very rewarding to see albums or artists succeed, or at least deliver it to the best that I could possibly deliver it within the parameters that I've been given. You know, we're not Universal or a major company with £500,000 to spend on an album, but with getting creative with budgets and networks and communities and making something really vibrant without having to throw money at it is something that I really enjoy.
Awesome. So how do you fuel your own creativity? What do you do? Where do you go? What do you see or listen to?
It's interesting because music was always my side passion when I had an office job, and now it's become my job. It's really hard to have it as a hobby as well. So I used to go to a lot more gigs and just put on records in the evening and that kind of thing. Whereas at the end of a day, especially if I've been working on the label and then DJed, the last thing I want to do is listen to music, which is quite a shame. But I still very much enjoy it. But creatively, I love going to galleries and plays, theatre, concerts still, festivals and that kind of thing.
It must be weird going from like absolutely loving music to then coming home and going, I can't listen to anything. Yeah.
Like the Sound of Silence is so golden to me now.
It's weird. Can you tell me what you've got coming up in the next few weeks or months? Any big projects underway?
Yes. So DJing wise, I'm not really sure what I'm going to do next year. I used to do it full time, and now I have the privilege of being able to pick and choose what I want to do, which is great. But I think I'll be doing some festivals next year, Glastonbury, WOMAD in Australia, I guess going to Japan, New York, a few other gigs. And for the record label, we've got some really interesting contemporary artists that are going to be coming out from New Zealand, the UK, and possibly the US as well. Yeah, I've just been doing one of my first A&R projects on my own, which is contacting really well-known musicians and artists and DJs to remix tracks that Soundway has already released. Mm-hmm. And so getting to reimagine music that we already love, but in a completely novel way. So really put an interesting twist on it. We're not talking just put a house beat by it, mm-hmm. behind it, where I want them to get really creative. So that's something I've been really enjoying.
Cool. Yeah. And when you say A&R, for those that don't know what that is?
Artist and repertoire. So basically trying to find artists and trying to manage repertoire of the label.
So coming to the end of the interview, I have so loved chatting with you, and I just wonder if you can answer two questions that I ask everyone. Is there a creative job or role across all industries that you've always wondered, what the hell does that job do? I'd love to know. And then I could potentially find someone in that role and get them on the show. And also a woman that you would like to hear on Greater Than 11%.
Well, other than creative director, which I've always wanted to know, I'd be interested in hearing more about someone that's a curator at a museum potentially, or gallery, because I don't really understand how the process is of bringing together an exhibition and or finding an exhibition to bring to a gallery. So yeah, I think that would be really interesting if someone that was in that side of the artistic world. And I look up to my friend Emma Davenport, who works at Mother London, the creative agency, and she is similar to a creative director as well. She runs a lot of major ad campaigns, and actually I should always wanted to ask her how she actually does it. And she also manages to have two children as well and raise them and also renovate a house, so she's fantastic. I'd also love to hear from someone like Lauren Laverne or Marianne Hobbs, who are both on BBC Six Music, because their journey to radio intrigues me. Mm. I've always wondered how they got to where they were. And I know that they've had various jobs in the music industry before they got to that point. And they're both really passionate supporters of women in music too. And I really look up to that, to what they do.
I'll do my best to get them on. I've so loved chatting to you. Thank you so much for your time today.
That was a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed, please write a review and rate, as that helps other people find Greater Than 11%. Also, stay subscribed to keep up to date on the weekly releases.